as near and dear to me as our country. You say, Pastor Creed, pastors ought not to be outspoken about politics and such in our country, and I think we got that backwards. This is a country that was founded on God's Word. And guess what I preach? God's Word. Our country starts getting off that foundation. It's time our Christians, our pulpits, and our churches start standing up for what's true and the truth of the Word of God. And if we don't, who will? If you look to my right, we've stood at the beginning and put our hands over our heart and honored our flag. Now, that's just not a cloth over there. There's a lot more to that than what's taught in our public school system and our young people. There's a lot more to that flag. And this morning, I'd like to talk about that. The colors of our flag. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 34, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Let's read that together. Ready? Go. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Lord, we love you. Thank you so much for the time that we have to open your word and to preach your word. Help me as I speak, do what I cannot do. Fill me with your spirit, Lord. Help us, be with us. We need your presence here this morning. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Many historians believe that the flag was designed by New Jersey Congressman Francis Hopkinson and sewn by Philadelphia seamstress Betty Ross. The name Old Glory was given to a large 10 by 17 foot flag by its owner, William Driver, a sea captain from Massachusetts. Inspiring the common nickname for all American flags, Driver's flag is said to have survived multiple attempts to deface it during the Civil War. Driver was able to fly the flag over the Tennessee State House once the war ended. The flag is a primary artifact at the National Museum of American History and was last displayed in Tennessee by permission of the Smithsonian at an exhibition in 2006. Between 1777 and 1960, Congress passed several acts that changed the shape, design, and arrangement of the flag and allowed stars and stripes to be added to and reflect the admission of each new state. Today, the flag consists of 13 horizontal stripes, 7 red alternating with 6 white. The stripes represent the original 13 colonies, and the stars represent the 50 states of the United States of America. The colors of the flag are symbolic as well. Now, red symbolizes courage. White symbolizes the purity. And blue symbolizes the justice, vigilance, the perseverance. We know there have been many attempts to deface the American flag. Many of you have seen men and women put our American flag into a burn barrel or to light it on fire, try to destroy it. There has been many attempts to disrespect our flag. Many attempts to disrespect the flag by kneeling, by turning their back on what the flag means. And here's what I say, the principles that are on that flag, that are representing that flag, come from the principles of the Bible. And so when you turn your back and disrespect the flag and the principles that that flag stands for and the truth that that flag stands for, you're disrespecting the truth and the principles of the Word of God. And I'd like to talk about those truths this morning, those principles. The blue stands for justice. A lot of people believe in law and order, but they think that as long as they can lay down the law and give the order, it's okay. We believe in justice. Our nation was formed with three branches of government, and they're the executive branch, that's the president, they're the legislative branch, the Senate and the House of Representatives, and the judicial branch, the Supreme Court and lower courts, and the courts were to rule on the law, not to make the law. The Bible teaches us in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 40, let all things be done decently and in order. And how important was justice in the Bible? How important does God view, how high does God view justice? Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 3 says this, to do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. To do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. Well, why is it so important? The very characteristics of this justice describe the very throne of God. Because we have a just God. And true justice comes from above. Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. Some would get so shocked at the idea of capital punishment in our country, yet are so active in campaigning for the slaughter of innocent unborn children. And I'm telling you this morning, that is the farthest thing from justice. And we need a revival in our country. But may we have some people in our churches, some Christians in this land, that'll stand up for justice. That'll stand up and know the God of justice and serve the God of justice. And stand against this non-justice. And we serve a God of justice who is no respecter of persons. The blue in that flag, when you look at that flag and you see that blue, I want you to think about that thought of a just God. That's what that stands for, the justice. The justice. We see white in that flag. White stands for purity. Purity. Where else can you find purity than in the very word of God? I know one person said, his name was Will Rogers, what this country needs is dirtier fingernails and a cleaner minds. I would happen to agree with him. What this country needs is dirtier fingernails and a cleaner mind. The only place we're going to get both, teaching our young people how to work and a work ethic, and teaching our young people to be pure, is in the Word of God. Napoleon made a mistake when he said to that God is on the side of the strongest battalion. This statement has been proven wrong many times in the Bible. For Abraham took 318 men and defeated four kings and their armies. Gideon, with his 300 dedicated men, defeated an army of thousands. David, a shepherd boy, untrained of war, and armed with only a sling and stones, killed a giant 9 feet tall. No, it's not a strongest battalion, but it's the strongest God. And I believe that God is on the side of those who do right and those who stay pure. The Bible is that standard of truth. John 17, 17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is what? Truth. Thy word is truth. The Bible is the whole source of wisdom, and it contains the rules and requirements. Proverbs 14:34 says, righteousness exalteth a nation, but what? Sin is a reproach to any people. 75% of American youth have engaged in at least one type of psychic or witchcraft-related activity. According to Proverbs 14:34, that's a reproach. The pornography industry rakes in an estimated $10 billion to $14 billion annually just in the United States. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a reproach. 80% of teens have committed fornication by the time they leave their teenage years. That's a reproach. Just in the state of Massachusetts, 40% of the children adopted have gone to gay and lesbian families. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a reproach. 40% of women ages 15 to 44 have had at least one abortion. That's a reproach. About 50% of U.S. adults report a family history of alcoholism or problem drinking. That's a reproach. Less than 1% of Americans had used illegal drugs before 1960. Almost 47% of high school students now report lifetime use of marijuana. That's a reproach. And why is this happening? Why are we seeing reproach in America? As a country that has, we have a country that has rejected the guidelines of the Word of God. They've rejected the Word of God as a whole. In fact, 112 million Americans, 46%, listen to this, 46% say that they have a biblical worldview. And so a company sat down with this 46% and had them test and quizzed on what a biblical worldview was. And guess what? 10% of that passed. Here's what that means. 88 million people who believe that they're doing what the Word of God says has no idea what the Word of God actually says. This is America. Right now, we need revival, ladies and gentlemen. We need to get back to purity. We need to get back to justice. Then there's the red. The blue is justice, the white is purity, and then there's the red, which is courage. Courage. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth." What's he talking about? That's the Word of God. "But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." But verse 9 says this, "Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." When I read that verse, "be strong and of a good courage," I think of our veterans. When we look at that flag and we see the color red so prevalent in that flag, and you think of the word courage, I encourage you to think of your veterans. I encourage you to think of the men and women right now who have given their lives, their family time, to put their life on the line for you and your freedoms. What courage that is. If you're sitting here and you've been through the military, with all my heart this morning, if you're a veteran, I want to thank you so much. I want to thank you for your courage. I want to thank you for your service. Thank you. The call for courage is repeated 4 times. Fear was understandable if you think about where they were in Joshua. They're looking at the promised land. They're looking at giants, looking at people that they would have to go defeat. They would have to arm themselves and fight. Many would die. But that was the promised land. That's what God gave them. A famed World War II tank commander named General George Patton said this: courage is fear holding on a minute longer. Fear holding on a minute longer. If you give in to your fears, you are on the path to defeat. And listen, I want you to know, we need some Christians with courage in America. We need some Christians with a backbone in America. Not wishy-washy Christians. We need Christians with a backbone. Not afraid to give the gospel out. Not afraid to stand on the true word of God. But willing to stand for what's true. A man who will not use his freedom to defend his freedom does not deserve his freedom. Carl McIntyre. After the Revolutionary War, the British suffered a humiliating loss at the hands of the United States. In August of 1814, the British sought to overcome this loss and captured our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., chased President Madison out and burned many buildings. The British made their way up to Baltimore by water to attack the third largest city at that time in America. And on their way, on their travels, they were able to capture and imprison Americans, one of which was a doctor named Dr. Beans. Dr. Beans had a lot of friends with a lot of money who hired a young lawyer to negotiate his release and the release of many others. And after a week on a British ship, the negotiations were actually successful. However, the British decided that there were to be no release of prisoners until after the attack on a fort outside of Baltimore named Fort McHenry, with only 1,000 soldiers manning that fort. 16 to 19 warships came to attack this fort. This was a critical moment for America, for our nation. September 13th, 1914, for 25 hours, the British fleet bombarded Fort McHenry with heavy artillery. The soldiers were outmanned and outgunned. The admiral of the fleet looked down at Francis Scott Key, who was the lawyer, and said, "You see that American flag? Our goal is to take that American flag and replace it with ours. And by morning, that's going to happen. That American flag will be down." Can you only imagine Francis Scott Key as he could do nothing but watch? With every spark and explosion, he would peek out to see if the flag was still there. And can you see those that were captive in the ship? "Mr. Key, is it still up? Mr. Key, is our flag still flying?" For 25 hours, he watched in horror as his country and his own city was under attack. And as the sun came up on that morning of September 14th, 1814, Mr. Key stared out on that fort. When the mist and the smoke lifted, he saw the most beautiful sight he's ever seen. He saw a 30 by 42 foot American flag that represented freedom and victory. And as Key left that ship and stepped on land of that fort, the carnage was almost unbearable. Over at the foot of the post where the American flag flew was a body of an American soldier who we will never know the name of, giving his life to keep that flag flying high. And Key wrote this about the activities that night: "Oh, say, can you see, by the dawn's early light, what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, or the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rockets' red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say, does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave. Let's stand together. And let's look at the flag. And with hand over heart, let's pledge our allegiance. Attention, salute, pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.